Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest. And this evening, our guest is Bill Sardi, and Bill is a health journalist who does an amazing amount of research and studying, and as a result, has, you know, able to document all sorts of things and problems within medicine, and actually has made some rather remarkable discoveries, things that have actually been included in major medical journals across America. Well, this evening he's going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about some of the problems facing medicine today. I hope you'll listen to what he has to say. You'll go to his website, knowledgeofhealth.com. And you realize that you are responsible for your family's health, and you need to know what's really going on in the medical profession and in the medical field, and you need to be able to protect your family from so many of the problems that are man-made problems that are plaguing the health of the American people. Bill Sardi, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
It is interesting, Dr. Stan, that a lot of people, being dutiful and well, certainly having access to doctors through insurance, kind of feel, oh, well, I'm sick or something's hurting, or I'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will fix everything. And kind of out of this, I don't play a role in it. He fixes it. It's not on my back. So it is true, I think, not to pick on anybody listening or anything, I think sometimes it just doesn't dawn on people that we probably can do a lot more for our health than anyone else can, and certainly more than the doctors can do. And our home medicine cabinet is much more powerful than all the medicines without the side effects and the cost. So if you're down there, up there, Dr. Stan, in Monterey Bay, I can tell you that just a moment ago here in Southern California, there was a rather very strong earthquake here, and my house is shaking at the moment. So you may hear that from some people, but I don't know where we're broadcasting this evening, but I can tell you there was a strong earthquake here just a moment ago. we're talking, of course, about an article that I released earlier in the week, and the title of it is A World Gone Medically Mad, and you've read it, and you've, of course, seen this, and it's kind of a compilation of so many things that I've talked about with you here on the radio that you've shared with me, and when we put it all together, it certainly does seem like a world that's gone medically mad. And of course, so many of these things, we just can only ask questions. There's no explanation we can have for this. All we can do is ask why. For instance, why do we have a Department of Homeland Security to protect us from biological terrorists when we allow immigrants, innocent as they may be, to walk across the southern border of the United States who harbor diseases like tuberculosis, hepatitis, and whooping cough, and then, of course, bring those diseases to us here, and they're bringing more disease. They're on the rise now, those diseases, than any biological terrorist could ever think of doing. Why do we do this? Why do we even pretend? I don't know. We'll find out more as we go through our list.
All right, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bill Sardi. But, of course, you know, I think that it's also very true that if we're really worried about a war against terrorism, why don't we close our southern border to keep the terrorists out? And, of course, the Bush administration for 5 long years has refused to do anything to close that border, and certainly doesn't want to build a fence. Go right ahead, Bill.
Well, we're talking about a world gone medically mad, and we just said about the Department of Homeland Security pretending to protect us from biological threats. Of course, when when immigrants harboring diseases walk across the southern border. Now we have a lot of whooping cough and hepatitis, and tuberculosis in particular is threatening the health of the world. We're teetering on the health of a precipice of a crisis in tuberculosis, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But we claim to track down sources of E. coli and salmonella infections in food. You hear about this in spinach and lettuce. And yet the real source is the runoff of water from cattle fields, where steers and cows are fed grain instead of being pasture-fed with grass. This alters the pH of their digestive tract. It becomes alkaline instead of acid. This results in about a 100-fold increase in bacterial counts in animals, and then on into a 100-fold increased count of bacteria in foods that we eat from animals, and particularly milk and meat. And then, of course, what do? They blame consumers for not cooking their food properly. Food decades ago, when the animals were pasture-fed, did not have this E. coli infection that we keep reading about and killing some Americans. Public health authorities know all this, and they just blame us for not cooking our food properly. Why do we continue to promote flu shots when there's no evidence that flu shots reduce mortality rates? And in fact, the United States only orders 100 million flu shots for a population of 300 million. So why is there no flu pandemic among the unvaccinated? Why do our doctors continue to advise Americans to lower their cholesterol when efforts to reduce cholesterol have not lowered mortality rates? And over a 500,000 Americans below the normal cholesterol levels drop dead of a sudden death heart attack each year. And why do doctors continue to prescribe statin drugs to lower cholesterol among healthy individuals when the latest data shows there's simply no significant reduction in mortality from coronary heart disease by taking these statin drugs? And for the high-risk patients, there will only be 1 in 75 who will benefit, those are the patients with angina, previous heart attacks, and strokes. So no benefit for most among the healthy. Only 1 out of 75 of the high-risk patients will benefit. Why do we continue to be phobic over high cholesterol foods like eggs when there isn't one study showing that egg consumption significantly raises cholesterol or the rate of heart attacks? In fact,
hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bill was simply asking why we're so intent upon giving statin drugs and lowering the cholesterol when large studies have shown that if you've never had a previous heart attack or stroke, you get absolutely no benefit from statin drugs. If you have had a previous heart attack or stroke, why, of course, you will, about 1 in 75 will benefit, 74 out of the 75 will not. So is it really worth doing that? And then, of course, they want to take eggs away from us. Why do they want to take eggs away? Pick up the story there, Bill.
Well, it does seem kind of odd. The Japanese have much higher cholesterol. I mean, significantly higher cholesterol levels than we do, and they're living far longer. And they don't seem to be phobic over cholesterol-rich foods. The liver adjusts the production of cholesterol based on how much we have in our diet. So in the decade that we went from 300 to about 200 eggs a year, why the heart attack rates went up, not down. So none of this ever made any sense, but here we are. We're still phobic. We still got the little cartons of egg whites instead with no yolks, and we're all phobic about that. So why does modern medicine continue to prescribe man-made antibiotics, all which eventually induce germ resistance, which results in avoidable death of thousands of Americans, when it's well documented that, for instance, Allicin, which you get from crushing a clove of garlic, a fresh clove, kills a wider number of bacteria, funguses, and viruses than an entire array of antibiotic drugs, and it's never been shown to induce germ resistance. So we're leading mankind on a dead-end street to the end of a point where we simply are going to have a major crisis. We're on the precipice of that now, because all we do with man-made antibiotics is lead man up to a point where most of the bugs we face, as far as bacterial infections, are now germ resistant, and therefore we face the problem of wiping out mankind all at one time rather than you know, little by little by infection. So we're now in deep trouble, and we've used this in our cattle, we've used it in ourselves, and so we're getting to a point here now where we're going to see massive loss of life all at one time. And of course, the extreme drug resistant tuberculosis is the big threat. There are some people in the United States with extreme drug resistant tuberculosis. They're being quarantined now, and they can pass that to 40 or 50 others, and then they can pass it to 40 or 50 others, and there is no way of stopping this. If you don't learn about natural antibiotics, there'll be no way out of this. So we need to learn about this. It's just a place that modern medicine has driven us to. So why do we give lip service in the world to fight malaria, which is a tropical disease that kills millions every year, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, when you yourself, Dr. Stan, have pointed out that we just spray the walls of the homes with a mild amount of DDT. It would reduce the malaria outbreaks by 80%, save thousands and millions of lives, and even the Environmental Protection Agency long ago, 1972, declared that DDT is not carcinogenic, mutagenic, teratogenic, doesn't cause birth defects, and certainly it has justifiable use without having a deleterious effect on fish, birds, wildlife, or any other organism. So with all that said, we have banned the use of DDT, and even the Wall Street Journal had a big article about this, and yet I still haven't heard that we're actively spraying homes. It's the environmentalists who stood in the way of this. So, you know, we're letting a lot of people, it seems, die for needless reasons.
In fact, really one of the great tragedies, between 300 and 500 million people every year contract malaria, and they're, you know, they're just chronically disabled by it. Certainly about 3 million die, and it's totally unnecessary. And it's been going on for 34 years, since the United States banned DDT back in 1973, not because it didn't work, not because it was dangerous to the environment, because there was an EPA panel that studied this for a year and said there's nothing to worry about, it's a miraculous drug, but because Alexander King of the Club of Rome had written, it's saving too many lives, people aren't dying fast enough, and we actually have the references to that, of those writings, to his where he actually said the problem with DDT is it's saving too many lives.
Well, in that vein, why we have to ask, why is Congress misallocating health funds to fight the bird flu, which poses no threat to humanity? You hear of a few people dying. I doubt if they're really confirmed bird flu cases, and yet and has a remote risk of mutating into a pathogenic viral strain. And of course, I believe I sent you earlier today a little report, and it's on the Market Watch wire from it's a Dow Jones service, and the time is flying by. Will the United States finish preparing for a flu pandemic before the clock runs out? And it goes on to explain that these vaccine makers are trying to, of course, produce a bird flu vaccine. For who? The birds? I mean, we have some for the birds, but what good would it do us? And the politicians are so obligated now to these vaccine makers, because they've given them go-ahead to produce all this, that it just seems they're obligated also to declare a pandemic, a fake one, so that they could get these vaccines used. And you see here on today's newswire that they're giving the stock prices of the Baxter, Sanofi Aventis, and GlaxoSmithKline. These are all the vaccine makers. What is that doing, the stock prices, on a news story about flu vaccines? Are we supposed to get excited and hope there's a pandemic so that we can buy stock today? It's coming. We better have one. The politicians, all they have to do is declare one. And, of course, we know that This is all really just a giant distraction. And while we're ready to wipe out humanity with extreme drug-resistant tuberculosis, there's all this distraction for the bird flu. And, of course, we buy millions of dollars of flu medicines like Tamiflu. They're worthless value. You have to give them in the beginning hours of the first onset of flu symptoms. They only reduce the duration of the flu and not mortality rates, so they wouldn't save one life. And yet we're stockpiling so many millions of dollars of flu medicines like Tamiflu. And we're only making about, I think I read, 34 million doses of the bird flu vaccine. What would one out of 10 do in America? I mean, we have 300 million people. What good would this do? I believe that's one out of 100 or something. It's not very many, regardless. I mean, I don't know what they're doing here. So with all of this said, I just can't even figure it out. It is a world gone mad medically. There are people running around spreading extreme drug-resistant tuberculosis today, and we don't know how many people they're infecting. Unless we catch them, one person could set this all off in our country, and we wouldn't know where to go with it. So there's no way to treat it. Not at emergency rooms, not by doctors, not by hospitals. The antibiotics won't work now. So, you know, we're headed to a dead-end street any way we look at it. Why are we promoting the vaccination of 10-year-old girls for the papillomavirus to prevent cervical cancer when there's no study proving this vaccine is going to save any lives? The vaccine only protects against the two most common strains of the virus, but not all 18 strains. So eventually, if women have enough sexual contacts, they're likely to acquire the virus anyway. And in comparison, two vitamins, folic acid, a B vitamin, and vitamin C, are effective against all 18 strains of the virus, are proven to be safe, likely to save lives. And yet we argue against this papillomavirus vaccine on moral grounds when the vaccine is not likely to work anyway. And if we are arguing on moral grounds, you can see the response of the public. You're a bunch of prudes. You want to keep this away from our kids so they can die. And so we can't win on that argument. But we can win that the vaccine is worthless. It's a very expensive $320 course of the vaccine. So America's being fed a bill of goods here on this. The United States government is looking the other way at the data and allowing this to be done. Merck, the drug company making the papillomavirus Gardasil, is essentially bankrupt. They were allowed to delay a $2 billion payment in taxes to the United States government. They're essentially a bankrupt drug company, and the government is doing everything they can to bail them out and give them these benefit of the doubt, or worse, in regards certainly to the papillomavirus for cervical cancer. There is no benefit in taking this.
And let me just point out, we did an interview today with people from the National Vaccine Center who pointed out, if you read the package insert there on the Gardasil vaccine, you'll find out that Merck covers it by itself by saying, oh, there are no studies that show that this is safe as far as it congenital abnormalities if the girl has a pregnancy. In other words, they've done studies, but they're really inconclusive.
That's true. You could get the vaccine while you are pregnant. Not knowing you're pregnant, it could cause a major problem.
Right. There are all sorts of qualifications on there to protect them. You have no, of course, protection yourself, because you can't even sue Merck. They are protected. If there's a problem, you'll have to try to sue the government. And just try. Go ahead and try. So the vaccine manufacturers do not have enough confidence in their vaccines to produce them without the government backing them up and saying, we can no longer be held responsible for what we have done. We are the vaccine manufacturers, and we cannot be sued. Well, go ahead and pick the story up, Bill.
Well, certainly we have so many of this medical madness going on in America, and so so much of it is just beyond explanation. Why do we treat
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Simply pointing out that they put the MSG into the food for children because we know that MSG will cause them to put on weight, and we want them to put on weight. We give it to the elderly because we know it will have them put on weight. But we never tell the average American that MSG leads to pathological obesity, and we put in all sorts of the food. In fact, they even have changed the labeling of the food so that the MSG is part of the construction or makeup of the food. And they say, then they can say, see, no MSG added. Well, they don't add it because it's there as the food is like these very various products are being a manufacturer. It's not added at all. It's part of the manufacturing process. So there's so many inconsistencies of what's going on today, and so much of what they're doing is actually harmful to our health. Go ahead, Bill.
We're being treated just like we're peons, like we're just small pawns on the chessboard, just like we're the sheep being herded around and misled. It's a terrible thing, and by the time the dairy and the meat and the grain industry got a hold of the U.S. food pyramid, which recommends the proportion of types of foods we should eat, why, when they all finished, we should eat more, not less, because they want to make money.
And of course, you were talking about how the food pyramid really is not the foods we're supposed to be eating.
Well, it certainly isn't, but it depends on what stage of life you're in. It might be okay for a 14-year-old boy who really needs to eat a lot to grow, but outside of that, it really makes no sense. So that's a lot of food, 15 to 26 servings of food a day. Why? Great for the food industry, not good for our waistlines. I'd like to know why health authorities continue to advise postmenopausal women to take calcium supplements when the calcium is coming out of your bones. You taking it orally doesn't stop it from coming out. It's like putting calcium in a barrel that has a leak at the bottom. It'll just come right out and go into your arteries, and as menopause onsets, we have a 360% increased risk of artery disease in women, and that's just from the calcium calcifying in the arteries. You're just aiding and abetting the problem with taking more calcium supplements. You need some form of estrogen to send a signal to hold the calcium in your bones, like when you were younger. You don't want to go back to estrogen replacement therapy. We suggest flaxseed meal, a couple tablespoons a day. It'll do women a wonder of good. And it sends a similar type of signal back to hold the calcium in the bones. But this advice you get about taking calcium supplements for the ladies, I think, is disastrous. Elevates mortality levels, causes kidney stones, lots of other health problems. So
that doesn't actually contribute then to the coronary artery disease.
That's right, because the coronary arteries, the real problem there is 50% of the plaque in our arteries is calcium, 3% is cholesterol. They're not telling us it's really calcium is the big problem. But remember, milk does the body good, and we've got that milk industry paying off our politicians and health authorities. Why do we say that high-dose vitamin C pills create nothing more than expensive urine, and because they're water-soluble and it washes out of the body quickly? Okay, but why don't doctors say the same thing about their water-soluble drugs? They wash out just the same way. And, of course, you never hear that complaint. So I just like the whole issue treated fairly and openly, and, of course, we never get that. Their vitamin C is washed out. Take it two or three times a day. Just means we need to keep taking it through the day to keep our blood levels up. Why do we act like we're trying to reduce tobacco smoking in the United States while we allow the tobacco companies to spike up the nicotine content of their cigarettes to make them more habit-forming? This is what the tobacco companies have been doing. Is we've been working to tax the tobacco companies. They've just been increasing the nicotine levels and, of course, no regulation whatsoever. No proper labeling, no comparison of brands, and this is what goes on. So, why do we continue to have 3,000 spina bifida babies born with cleft palates every year when all we need to do is fortify our food with folic acid? We'd prevent this problem altogether. We don't do it. We haven't done it adequately. We need to do more.
Well, of course, there's so many unanswered questions out there, and really there's so much that could be done. In fact, one time they used to add iodine to all of our bread and to our milk and to all of our salt, and then they took it out of about half the salt, and then they took it out of the milk and out of the bread, and then we wonder why so many people are lethargic all the time, and of course, we add fluoride to the water. It competes with what little iodine we have. And then for the thyroid, we wonder why so many people are having so many medical problems today. Well, I guess this is a Bill Sardi. Bill, go right ahead and pick the story up.
Well, we're talking about medical madness, and of course, it does seem that the world has gone medically mad. We keep hearing that the cancer rates are, the survival time for cancer is rising. Treatment is better. It's all a false charade. They tell us to line up for mammograms and PSA tests and colonoscopies, and yes, cancer is diagnosed at an earlier stage. And that leads to a false number that we're living longer. We're just detecting it early. Most cancer patients are still dying on the same calendar day if you detect your cancer in 1990. And then you die in the year 2000, you live 10 years. But if you detected it in 1995, you live 5 years. So it's a false way. You're still dying on the same day. It's just when you detected it. They're not increasing the survival rates. They're just altering the numbers by these screening programs, finding more disease to treat, but none to cure. And this is the problem, and we're misled by this over and over again. Since they have the incentive to screen and treat, why, this is what we have. They don't really care to cure us. They care to collect the money. And this is what goes on in the cancer industry. And they don't mind lying to us about these survival rates, which gets people to come in thinking there is no successful treatment for colon cancer, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just give you the truth. I mean, when you get it, there may be treatment. You may live for a while. There is no effective treatment for lung cancer. Most patients are dead within 1 year. This may sound a little stiff to take, but this is the way it is. So you better start searching for alternatives today. The day you get cancer, of course, they don't have anything. They've got lots of treatments. They don't have any effective treatments. Just so many things that we need to ask. 2,500 unexplained crib deaths every year. They never come up with an explanation for the crib deaths. It's coupled with the fact that in New Zealand, they have a mattress wrapping campaign for the cribs, and they've virtually eradicated sudden infant death syndrome. For 10 years, there's not been one crib death recorded on wrapped mattresses in New Zealand, despite the obvious evidence among thousands and thousands of births in New Zealand, a wonderful place to test all this. Why the United States has ignored it. We still have 2,500 children die unexplainably. We do nothing about this. No one's working.
Hold that thought right there. Okay, Dr. Stan, go right ahead, Bill.
Okay. And so, you know, we do see these things over and over again. All of these crazy, this crazy madness, these paradoxes, these unexplained things in, of course, what we see, we were talking a little earlier about calcium and coronary artery disease and women being told to take calcium. In the countries where the lowest calcium intake is the lowest rate of coronary artery disease. And where the high calcium intake is, New Zealand, North America, Ireland, Scandinavian countries, where the cows are, where the grazing land is and the water is for the cows, why, has the highest rates of calcium intake and coronary heart disease. It's calcium, it's not cholesterol. Why don't we know what causes autism? Why do we just continue on and say we don't know? It continues to rise, and yet the Amish who don't vaccinate their children have a nearly non-existent rate of autism. Why do we continue to vaccinate children in this way with these heavy metals that encourage, of course, the destruction of the brains of our children? Why? Why do we do this? So this continues on and on. The world rate of vaccination is going up, and the world rate of autism and so many other diseases going up. We'll get into that in the future in a more in-depth look at all of that sometime soon. Of course, just looking at all these things and wondering where we're going. I mean, where are we going to go? What are we doing? It just seems like a world that's gone medically mad, from bird flu to the advice to take calcium to just everything from sudden infant death syndrome to autism. It's all misinformation. How in the world did we ever have a biological terrorist escape detection, spread anthrax around the United States, put it out in an envelope, and attacked congressional offices and the news media with a strain of anthrax that was genetically traced back to the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and yet we still couldn't find the terrorist? And why did it go back to our own government laboratory? And who could have gotten it out of there?
And one other question I'd ask is, why did it only go to Democratic senators? Why not to any Republican senators?
Well, it certainly is a deep question. And, you know, any day why this could all start again. Somebody who spread it is still at large. It seems like it's off the radar screen, like we're not to worry about it. And you wonder about our news reporters today. They've got to be shaking in their boots because somebody aimed it at them, like if you open your mouth, you'll get a letter. So, you know, we've got to wonder a little bit today where it came from and why was it sent out and why is there no effort to go revisit this? Somebody did something terrible in the United States and we're not even tracking it down anymore. Did we lose track of this? On our radar screens, aren't you worried about getting some of this in the mail? Somebody should be. So, again, another paradoxical, inexplicable part of a world gone medically mad makes no sense today, whether it's DDT or whatever it is. You know, a recent review of antioxidant supplements concluded that the risk of death rises by taking high-dose antioxidant supplements like vitamin C, like vitamin E, and yet 93 to 95% of Americans are deficient in vitamin E, 23% of Americans deficient in vitamin C, and the only Americans that are not at various times deficient in these two vitamins are taking vitamin pills. Now, isn't that interesting? They told us not to take antioxidant supplements, and the only people in the United States that are not deficient are the ones that are taking the pills. Now, I just find this tremendously interesting, what's going on. I don't know why. I can't explain all this. It makes no sense. And yet here we are with this very fact in front of us that I believe it's about 15 units of milligrams of vitamin D that we need, and most of us consume about 11 to 12, so we're all under the minimum mark, and yet they told us that maybe we should stop taking the doses. Probably the optimal level is around 100 to 200 units of vitamin E levels for all of us, and so it would mean everyone would need to take supplements because you can't get anywhere near that out of your diet. And yet, we read this in the news media. So, again, all of this just makes no sense. We just continue to have all of these paradoxes. All of this goes on. You know, we have over 100 drugs prescribed for bipolar disorder. Now, these are people with mental highs and lows. Often the depression or the lows are stronger and are prolonged more than the highs, but a Harvard Medical School researcher conclusively showed that omega-3 fish oil quells that problem. Others have shown magnesium is a proven antidote, and yet we prefer the 100 or so ineffective drugs that don't are inappropriate and don't address that problem. So, you know, we just have so many of these problems, it's just hard to even get into, from the spina bifida babies to, let's say, Alzheimer's disease. All of the drugs for Alzheimer's disease are ineffective. Some of them are fraught with side effects. There's a simple B vitamin called folic acid. It's a proven preventive agent for Alzheimer's disease. If we're all concerned, we should be. 25% of us are going to live into our 90s. We might be senile. We might have Alzheimer's disease. A simple 10-cent folic acid pill every day seems to be a tremendous antidote. They're adding up more research every year, shows more and more of this. So that's all we need to do. Our doctors are prescribing the wrong drugs, and just it just makes no sense. The drugs they prescribe are what they call acetylcholinesterase inhibitors. They inhibit a little enzyme and it helps our memory a little bit, but they don't seem to work. They seem to have a lot of side effects. You can go down to a health food store, get a little Chinese herb called huperzine, H-U-P-E-R-Z-I-N-E. It's a very safe acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. Doesn't have any side effects and seems to work quite well. Just take a small dose like they give you in the little pills down at the health food store. So just amazing. I'd certainly like to know why they tell us that 2,000 units of vitamin D is potentially the toxic upper limit that we can handle, when we can go out in the sun and spend an hour in just our bathing suit in the summer in a southern sunny state and make 10,000 units of vitamin D, and yet 2,000 in a vitamin pill is said to be toxic. I've never heard of anybody going out in the sun and developing a toxic level of vitamin D. How do they get away with all of this misinformation? Why? How? And why are we so gullible to accept it all? And why doesn't somebody step forward and sort it out and tell us these things? And so it's a pretty nasty kind of a thing. And by the way, black Americans make far less vitamin D than Caucasians, and they all need vitamin D supplements. And most of the health problems among blacks, heart disease, cancer, obesity, high blood pressure, all those problems that plague the blacks are vitamin D related, and they need more vitamin D. Sunlight in a bottle, little 7.3-cent pill. You can learn about it at Knowledge of Health, my website, where to get the little 7-cent, 5,000-unit vitamin D pills. They're real cheap, and you can figure that out at knowledgeofhealth.com. We try to pass that little tip on to you. So I'd like to know why Congress is passing legislation requiring adverse event reporting for dietary supplements. You take a dietary supplement, they're going to require that if you have a side effect, to report this to the manufacturer, has to report it to the Food and Drug Administration. Well, that's fine, but we haven't had a death reported from taking vitamin pills for the last 8 years, and it went on longer than that. That's just all we have the recorded evidence for from the Poison Control Center data. So what are we passing this legislation for anyway? And by the way, the dietary supplements are safer than aspirin, which causes bleeding, gastric ulcers. Safer than tap water. There's chlorine in the tap water, causes bladder and kidney cancer over the long term. Safer than table salt. The sodium elevates blood pressure. Safer than food. There's food poisoning every year. And even safer than the prescription drugs. The properly used prescription drugs kill over 100,000 Americans a year, and yet we're picking on these dietary supplements and mandating adverse event reporting. And by the way, they mandate the same for the drug companies, but they don't mandate that they have to report anything. They just tabulate the data and don't disclose any of it, but they're going to mandate that the dietary supplement companies have to reveal all this. Now, isn't that interesting? I found that kind of a inside thing that Congress is doing, that certainly just, they pass this adverse event reporting for dietary supplements. I think it's something like 2 in the morning on a Friday. So, you know, it's this kind of thing that goes on. So, hiding all this from the American people. And so you'll hear more about this in an upcoming headline somewhere where they'll be warning all Americans that supplements are unsafe. They've started this witch hunt against the dietary supplements, and they'll continue on with it. So whether it's the bird flu or autism, sudden infant death, whether it's our vitamin pills or malaria, whether it's smoking and tobacco, flu pandemics, cancer, vaccination programs, obesity drugs, doesn't matter what it is, it seems we're all being led in the wrong direction. Why is this? Why are we being told to be phobic about cholesterol, and yet now women are going to fertility clinics because they're not fertile anymore, they never had any problem with this before, and they're on low-fat diets, tap water has fluoride in it, which interrupts men's sperm counts? Are all these things being done obsequiously so that the mortality, excuse me, the birth rates will go down without us even knowing it. I mean, just so many things here that we have to ask questions about, wondering who thought this all up? How could it all be in the wrong direction? What are we doing? Why are we dying when we don't need to? And, of course, submitting ourselves and lining up as the public does. I can't blame the public. They don't know. But lining up for more and more and more of the same, and we don't have any idea of what all this does now. Tobacco smoking is a great way for these states to make millions of dollars. They don't want you to stop smoking, so they allowed the tobacco companies to increase the nicotine. Keep the smokers who are now smoking more dependent. Don't let them give up their habit so these states could rack up millions and millions of dollars on these tobacco taxes. There's no real effort to stop smoking. It's now become a way to fund so many programs in this social welfare state that we have. So if only the smokers would really catch on what pawns they are in this whole thing and how that they're being gamed in this whole system. And, of course, what a mess all that is. Like, if you're going to smoke, why roll your own? Maybe get out of the taxes. I mean, it just seems kind of crazy. Smokers don't even realize that probably taking dietary supplements, vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, and so on, I don't want to excuse smoking. Please, don't accuse me of that. But there's a lot of people we love that can't get away from the cigarette. And it's interesting that smokers don't really get lung cancer till they get older. So age is the deciding factor. And so age is a factor, and we know our immune system goes down. For every cigarette you smoke, you use up and degrade a 25 milligrams of vitamin C in your body. Why don't we tell smokers this? Don't we care about them? Oh, I know, it sounds like we're giving them an excuse to smoke, but all of these smoking cessation programs are failing. If they were successful, I'd say, fine, let's not give them an excuse to smoke, and here, take this also, so you get out from under the side effects. But maybe they're dying needlessly. And, you know, the Japanese, they don't seem to have the lung cancer, and they're tremendous smokers. They smoke a lot in Japan, but they don't put the same additives in their cigarettes like the FDA allows them to here. Are you a smoker? Did you know about those additives? Did you know that they kill people, but they don't in Japan? I think you ought to know that. So, you know, there's a lot of these things that go on. The Japanese government actually owns a tobacco, major tobacco company in Japan. So they collect money and make profit off of this. So what is the motive once government has a hand in tobacco? They don't want to stop it. They act like that. They give it lip service. There are anti-tobacco ads that they put on for 30 seconds when they know young people who are the ones who start smoking don't even watch the television programs where they put this on. They had one effective television commercial. It was the one where it showed all the advertising CEOs and advertising executives for the tobacco companies raising their hands before Congress to swear that they were telling the truth, that they did not know there was any link between smoking and lung cancer, and yet all of the internal memos of the tobacco companies revealed that they did know. Those men in that room, those very men who swore before Congress, did know that. And that ad caused more people to throw away their cigarettes. For some reason, somehow they had to wait till they saw that ad. But you know, you don't see that ad anymore because, well, that one works and stops people from smoking. And, well, we've got these little children, and they need food, and this welfare program, and that vaccine program, and this thing for the mentally ill, and all of those programs won't be funded if you don't continue smoking. Isn't this an interesting way they design this whole medical madness that we're into today? We just can't get out. One disease funds a dependency on everything else. Craziness. This is insane what is going on in our country. The commercial interests dominate. They pay off the politicians. There is no concern here. I know that we hear we have the best medical care system in the world. We hear that people come from around the world to come here for medical care. And yet, conventional medical care is collapsing. You can go to my website, knowledgeofhealth.com. You can get a free e-book, download it, and read it, the collapse of conventional medicine. And read it there and see, in recent years, why estrogen replacement therapy has failed and so many other treatments and therapies just have fallen. The cholesterol theory of heart disease is ready to fall now.
Bill, we're just about out of time. I want you to get your website out right
now. Knowledgeofhealth.com. Knowledgeofhealth.com. It's a free website, and all the information is free for you and your family. We hope you take advantage of it, contribute it, and continue to support Radio Liberty. Thank you.
And just hang on there for just a moment. And ladies and gentlemen, go to that website, knowledgeofhealth.com. Knowledgeofhealth.com. If you care about your health, you care about your family. Go there, pull down the information, and read it. Well, Bill, we've got three more minutes, and we have a caller had called in and asked if there's any way that IP6, a rice bran that is really a form of it that just doesn't contain calcium, or do they all contain calcium, and why do they put calcium in with it?
Yeah, calcium isn't added. It's just a natural part of the rice bran. When you get a chelator or something that attaches to minerals so well as that molecule does, it's pretty hard to get just pure, and so some of it has to attach to a mineral, and so they have it attached to calcium. That calcium will be harmless. It won't harden or crystallize because it's attached to the phytate or IP6 molecule. Additionally, there might be some concern that we're not going to absorb enough calcium in our diet, so this would keep us, there's a small amount of calcium and magnesium in these products, and that would mean we wouldn't have an overt deficiency because we're getting a little bit while we're chelating and removing a lot. So it's actually a safety valve for us. So I know we read that there's a little bit of calcium there, but we shouldn't be concerned. By the way, the amount of calcium in a dose of this might be 60 milligrams, whereas in your diet you're getting about 800 milligrams. So it's not a large contributing factor. So you're having calcium in your diet, and that's fine. We just don't want to add more. And believe me, you'll chelate out all the heavy metals and the calcium deposits, and certainly the iron excess. All of the loose calcium and iron, it doesn't take calcium out of your bones, doesn't take iron out of your red blood cells. But so many people see a television ad now about cleansing and colon cleansing. Please don't fall for all that. That's all nonsense. That's all that stuff about you've got so many pounds of fecal material in your body and all this kind of thing. If you want the best cleanse in the world, try the rice bran cleanse called IP6, letter I, P as in ball, 6. You can go to the Knowledge of Health website, rice bran cleanse, look that up, learn all about it, how it cleans out your brain, your kidneys, your liver, so many parts of your body. It's just really unbelievable, and the best cleanse that you can do for your body, particularly if you're past age 40, certainly for the males and also for the females. If you're a growing child, you don't need to do this. If you're a fertile female, you're still menstruating, you don't need to do it. But for the rest of us, why, it's a good idea. So
okay, so the whole idea is you're taking out the iron and other heavy metals there, is that right?
Right, that's right. And basically, we just don't accumulate those two minerals, calcium and iron, as we're growing, because they go to make bones and make new red blood cells. But in middle age, we're accumulating those two minerals. We're aging faster.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're out of time. God bless and thanks so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you'd like to get a copy of the program we did tonight, you can always call us at 1-800-544-8927 to get in more information. Let me just suggest some of the things I think are so vitally important that you begin to learn about. What about drugs? We need Marcia Angel's book, Dr. Marcia Angel, former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, the single most prestigious journal in the United States, medical journal. Dr. Marcia Angel's book, she has a position at Harvard, her book, What You Should Know About the Drug Companies. It's a very important book. Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Nutrition health and nutrition secrets that can save your life. Health and nutrition secrets can save your life. If you have a friend who has cancer, you have cancer yourself, natural strategies for cancer patients, and finally Dr. Blaylock's third book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. All of these are important sources of information that you need to have. You need to learn about statin drugs. There's a four-tape set on statins, a little book on statin drugs, one of the greatest scams of all times. We, of course, have material on vaccines. We have two books by Neil Miller on vaccinations, a book by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, a four-tape set on vaccines, a four-tape set on the anthrax vaccine, a four-tape set on vaccine A, which was the experimental vaccine that they gave to our boys who went to the first Gulf War. Incidentally, though, I don't know how many of you know, but of the 695,000 men we sent over there for the first Gulf War, over 80,000 are now dead. Now, if you doubt that figure, we'll be glad to send you the figures from the we got directly from the Veterans Administration. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, we offer the abstract from Dr. Fudenberg's website. Dr. Fudenberg is in his 80s. He's certainly one of the dean of vaccinologists, and he points out that if you are foolish enough to take the influenza vaccine, like you're told, you're between 60 and 65, you take 3 to 4 shots over a 5-year period, 10 years later, the incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%. Of course, if you examine a brain of an Alzheimer's patient, they have 4 times the mercury. And the reason, of course, they get it, they've taken the influenza shots, were loaded with mercury, or they have their mercury fillings in. And if you need more material on mercury, certainly my interviews with Dr. Kennedy, excellent, or the DVDs that he's provided for us. We have a wonderful video on the influenza vaccine by Dr. Ayub, and we offer that along with a CD-ROM that has several thousand pages of research papers that Dr. Ayub has put together. So all of this information, we'd like more information on how to get the information we're talking about. Why don't you call 1-800-544-8927? That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our webpage at radioliberty.com. You are responsible for your health and your children's health. And you cannot depend upon the medical profession, because, quite frankly, the doctors are never told when they go to their meetings. Why? Because they're dominated by the drug companies, because the drug companies have their agents working at every level of organized medicine today. The pharmaceutical companies are the most profitable companies on the New York Stock Exchange today. Why? Well, very simply, they have their agents working for them in your doctor's office. Have you ever noticed how the advertisement on television goes, "Well, you go ask your doctor if this medicine is good for you"? Why? Because they know that they've had their detailed people go around and talk to the doctors to tell you what they want you to believe, and that is that their medicine is just what you need. Understand the doctor's being manipulated, but you're being manipulated. Start taking care of your health. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. If you'd like a free health catalog or emergency catalog or regular catalog, give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest, and of course this evening our guest is Neil Cruz, and Neil designs homes. He lives over in the Watsonville area, and he's a friend of friends of ours, and our friend was just telling us about some of the ideas that Neil had been putting forward about a phenomenon that is sweeping across America, and we've talked about it in the past. It's called The Secret. It's a DVD. It sold out well over 1.5 million DVDs at $29.95 each. They tell me that there are some 3 million copies of the book that goes with that. My wife found them at Costco the other day. I mean, this is an amazing phenomenon. It's put together by a woman named Rhonda Byrne, who is a television producer from Australia, who at a time when her life was in a period of crisis, was given a book about this idea that you can control things through your mind. And then she, of course, then got into contact with a couple here in the United States, the Hicks, Mr. and Mrs. Hicks, and basically they go all over America putting on demonstrations by which Mrs. Hicks becomes possessed by a spirit called Abraham. And Abraham, of course, gives directions to the people in the audience, and I think they pay a couple of $100 to come. 200 or 300 people will show up, put out a couple of $100 to hear Abraham speaking to Mrs. Hicks, who's obviously, or Miss Hicks, who is obviously demonically possessed. But this is a whole concept that is sweeping America today, as people are looking for happiness, for a meaning to life. And of course, many years ago when I was growing up, these concepts of the supernatural were relatively unknown. In fact, when the films came out on The Exorcist back in the late 1970s, early 80s, most people had never heard of demonic possession. I began reading about it. It's quite common throughout the rest of the world, but it wasn't very common here in America until recently. And now there comes almost an obsession with contacting those beings from another dimension who can give you happiness, who can give you success. And that is the message, of course, of the DVD and of the book, that you can learn how to harness the whole of the universe using your own mind. What an amazing concept, that you can have wealth, that you can have fame, that you can have relationships. And the statement is made that this is a secret that has been passed down through the generations, and they point out that Plato understood this, and Aristotle, and certainly that Beethoven and Andrew Carnegie, that the Leonardo da Vinci, that Einstein, Emerson, Thomas Edison, they all knew this secret. They knew how to, by utilizing their mind, to begin to control events throughout the world and to make great progress. And they talk about Victor Hugo and of course Galileo. Is this true? Can you really contact another dimension and change the world? And the tragedy is, you can. And this works for many people. But of course, at the danger of your eternal soul, because there is another dimension where the demons live. And you may not believe in it, but it's there. We'll be right back with Dean. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Neil, how did you get involved in writing? I've read your treatise on the secret, and I think it's fascinating. I think you've done a great lot of work, and I really appreciate you getting the information to me.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And the first thing I'd like to say is thank you for all the work that you're doing and the dedication that you've shown over the years. It's a tremendous service. I just to give you a little bit of background on myself, I got a degree in psychology at Sonoma State University, and essentially their psychology department was based on humanistic psychology. And I discovered later on that basically in the educational system they were trying to move us towards what some of us call secular humanism. And in my first introduction to philosophy here on the Monterey Peninsula, I was introduced to Kierkegaard, and Kierkegaard talked about the need for somebody like Jesus Christ in the story of humanity. But that was the last time I heard about it. Every class on philosophy after that was based on Nietzsche. And I can't tell you how many times I heard, God is dead, God is dead, God is dead. And so I left philosophy after that. I got sick of it because I realized this was the message that they were putting out in the educational system at that time. I went on from there. I did the S training at one point, and I went up to San Francisco, got closely involved in the S organization. All the while they were telling us you can have anything you want, you can create anything you want, and my life ended up in disaster, as it did with several people who committed themselves to that goal. I remember a friend of mine having dinner with us one night and say the problem, he told us the problem I have with the S training is that it gives you unrealistic expectations. Now think about that when we hear the messages from The Secret that tells you you can have anything you want. You can be anything you want to be. Those kinds of absolute statements are just not realistic. I discovered a book, I think it was about 20 years ago, written by a man named Waddles, and it was called The Science of Getting Rich. We were so excited by this book that we read it to each other. I probably read the book three or four times completely. That book is the book that got Rhonda Byrne interested in doing a special on The Secret. I should say that I have not watched The Secret. I've watched the first 20 minutes of it. I've been invited to watch it several times after what I've been through on a similar program.
Hold that thought right there. Yeah, we'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Neil was just telling us that, of course, he had, as so many people, had gotten involved with this movement. He got into EST, he got into this effort to find out how to give meaning to life. He took a degree in psychology, but he found that none of these things was really very satisfying, that they were trying to lead the classes of the students in our state university into the secular humanist belief, and then, of course, as you began getting into some of these other approaches, they began tapping into the supernatural, which, of course, EST and so many of these other things do. But that, of course, is exactly what The Secret does. It is tapping into the supernatural. Now, to many people out there, this idea there's a supernatural is, well, they sort of want to dismiss that. And you dismiss that, of course, at the danger of your eternal soul. There really is another dimension. There's a spiritual dimension to life, and certainly I've actually seen manifestations of it. I went back to do an interview. Actually, it's for a movie. It came out. We carry it, actually, called America, Nation in Crisis, I believe it is. Anyway, there they had Joyce Riley, is a good friend of mine. She had a spoon. Now, there's a major general who worked in the military, and they worked with mind control. You have to understand, the military's been working, contacting this other dimension for years, and here's this spoon that this general has taken, and you've heard of bending spoons. This one is into two complete circles. Now, there's no way humanly possible you could do it. I couldn't even budge that spoon, and I still have a lot of strength in my hands. But you can do it supernaturally. There is a supernatural dimension that you can contact, but you don't want to contact it. Up at the Stanford University, they have their special institute. The Stanford Research Institute has been working for 20 or 30 years going into contacting this other dimension. But it is a demonic dimension. This is what people really don't understand. And the whole idea of The Secret is you can manipulate the universe with your mind. In other words, it's a matter of mind control, mind over matter, the power of positive thinking. Neil was talking about this book on how to grow rich that he had read 20 years ago. But many people, and I've talked to people who've actually delved into this, who centered their thinking totally on wealth or getting a car or getting a boat or getting $1 million, and you can actually, if you focus your attention on it, many times you can accomplish your goal, but at what expense? Because, of course, you've turned your back totally on the teachings of our Lord, Jesus Christ, and you're trying to utilize the supernatural, the other dimension, the dimension that the diviners and of course, the mediums and the fortune tellers and certainly the witches and the Satanists contact, as they contact the beings from the other dimension to get supernatural power. We hear a lot about this on Art Bell and things of that sort, and people are fascinated by it. I don't think they really don't realize that it's real. But do you think that the secret could work for certain people, Neil?
Yes, I do. Let's just say that this type of material, which I'm very familiar with to the point of being exhausted by it, I think that there are a number of good concepts. I think there are a number of truths that are presented in these types of documentaries. There are certainly a number of truths in the book, The Science of Getting Rich. Intention does have an effect. What we think about does have an effect. But I guess the question I've got about all this is, what's all this interest in becoming rich about? I took a look at the background behind The Secret, how it was developed and how it came to the United States. And it was first shown, I think, in March of 2006. Ellen DeGeneres picked it up in November of last year, and then it went into Oprah's field and went ballistic at that point. And I'm asking myself, how can something like this be so successful? And it's very interesting to read that some of the people that were behind this and some of the people that funded it said, we purposely wanted this to appeal to the idea of getting wealthy, to the idea of getting rich. So when you read through this material, you can't help but get the impression that the people behind this were marketing experts. Rhonda Byrne herself was the producer for what is the equivalent of the talk show, I think the Don Lane show, in Australia. Well, what if we said to everybody here, did you know that The Secret was produced by the same person who produces The Tonight Show? These people are experts. They spent, I think there was something like $3 million spent on the making of this production. This is not just some person on the side who had a revelation and then started to talk about it, and all of a sudden everybody discovered it. This is a tremendous marketing program. And then you get into the details of the making of the film, the fact that there were two versions of the film, the dispute that arose between Esther and Jerry Hicks, and Rhonda Byrne. And you can't help but come up with the feeling that the ethics of the people involved in this are somewhat in question. And this is the point of the dispute between Esther and Jerry Hicks and Rhonda Byrne. So, first of all, you gotta wipe the shine off of this stuff. This is a gigantic marketing program. When you look at what they're doing on the website, when you look at the plans for the second series on this, they have an industry going here, and it's huge, and it's making a lot of money.
But of course, the what bothers me about this is that it's taking people away from what life should really be about. I mean, there are two basic philosophies of life. One of them is, I believe in God. I believe that I should follow the path that God wants me to.
Yeah.
And I should, the notion that we should obey God and keep His commandments, that we should fear God and keep His commandments, that we should love God and keep His commandments, as long as we do not, try to be completely within ourselves. In other words, we do not say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. My goal in life is to be happy. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, the trouble is, In any society where the vast majority of the people do what they want to do, you have moral anarchy. Because true freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. It's the ability to do what you should do according to God's leading, according to God's commandments. The philosophy that we're seeing put forward by the secret is, well, I am going to manipulate the whole universe around my mind, and I'm going to tap into this supernatural power that is available to me, and then I'm going to be happy, and I'm going to have wealth, and I'm going to have relationships with people, and I'm going to have fame, and the thing is that this has been known for centuries, for millennia, that you really can begin to manipulate these demonic forces. But there is a price to pay when you sort of get into this other dimension, and there is this other dimension that's out there. It's very real, and of course the price you will pay will be eternal damnation. Now, most people cannot put this into the spiritual perspective. In other words, this looks like a game. What have we got to lose? Let's give it a try. And unfortunately, I believe it will work for many people, but of course, if nobody ever explains to them the other dimension of what they're getting into, why, of course, they're going to lose their very souls. And the average individual doesn't even understand that there is a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of our civilization. And when the majority of people have embraced the other side, the dark side, and the beings on the dark side, and are directed as Miss Hicks is, and she openly admits that she's actually taken over by Abraham. This is the demonic spirit that speaks through her, and which initially had in the first version of the film, and then of course that was taken out. But she actually goes into trances. She's taken over. She speaks with the voice of another human being, or another, I shouldn't say another human being, another entity. And this is was the very basis of this whole phenomenon of the secret, which was promoted by Ellen DeGeneres and Larry King and Oprah Winfrey so many of our Hollywood stars, and Jack Cahill of Chicken Soup for the Soul for the Soup, or Chicken Soup for the Soul fame, telling us this is the secret to life. But is it the secret to life, Neil?
Well, I guess that gets down to what really matters to you in life. And what I'm seeing is a gross materialization of everybody's interest. Our society has become one in which it says that the individual now has the right to get ahead at all costs. You know, in America we talk about freedom, but I'm convinced that we now see freedom as nothing more than license.
You're absolutely
right. I want to get to do whatever I want to do. And the secret sort of panders to that. I had read two or three comments by some of the people that were included in this special where they felt that some of the more subtle elements of what they had to say were cut from the final production. And I think that, you know, if you expand that out, you can see that the people who produced this said, let's pander to this greed and this, Dr. Stan, you mentioned the phrase, you want to do what you want to do. We have the doctrine, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law that was given to us by Aleister Crowley. The more you read about the secret, the more you see it kind of belongs to that camp.
It sure does.
And take a look at Harry Potter. You've got magic going here. It's amazing to hear how often the word magic is used by the people who talk about the secret. Are these things coming from the same place? It begins to look like it.
Well, I don't think there's any question at all they're coming from the same place. These people who are beginning to use their mind are focusing on gaining power. But, of course, that power does not come from them, and it doesn't come from the universe. It comes from the demonic realm. And we'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, Neil, Sydney, as you talk to people, and I know you sent emails to some of your friends, do some of them begin to recognize what we're really talking about? There are a lot of people, of course, if they're not coming from a Christian perspective, they do not believe in the Christian message. They think this is crazy talk. This is what a wonderful thing if we could just find out how to create wealth and success and it would just come to us. We wouldn't have to do anything. It would be sort of ours just for the asking. It's an intriguing idea, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's a very seductive idea, and as presented in The Secret, it's a very oversimplified idea. How can people help but respond to this and say, hey, I want to get ahead? Or, you know, I was thinking about all the people in this country struggling with their mortgages right now. What a great time to release The Secret. Hey, all you have to do is think in a certain way, and you're going to solve all your problems. Dr. Stan, I took the time to download the press release for The Secret off their website, and I noticed they have a circle logo, and in that circle logo is a phrase, as above, so below. And I immediately recognized this as a very ancient Hermetic principle. People may be familiar with the Baphomet. The Baphomet is a goat-headed demon with two horns, a beloved symbol of Satanists and Luciferians. And if I could read just this one section here, Levi's famous drawing of Baphomet depicts a male-female image representing the dualistic nature of life, female breast, phallus, one arm masculine, the other feminine, one arm pointing up, and the other pointing down, representing the Hermetic principle of as above, so below. His illustration combines the goat-headed devil of the witches, Sabbat, the god of the Templars, and the devil in the tarot cards. You know, a lot of the principles that are presented here, it moves in the direction of magic. It moves in the direction of tempting people to want power. It moves in the direction of saying to people, we're going to give you control of your life so that you can make life go the way you want it to. But when you come before God, in my opinion, and I'm a God-fearing man, I don't want people to think that I'm a Christian per se, but I am definitely a God-fearing man. And when I made a contract with God, you don't get to put any conditions on that. It's either His will or you're not on board. And there are also people who make contracts with Lucifer. I'm watching a documentary about John Lennon that just came out, and this documentary praises him for his political attitudes and so on and so forth and his involvement in the radical movement of the 60s. And I think it was Pastor Schimmel, if I'm saying his name right.
Yes, Joe Schimmel.
Joe Schimmel, who pointed out that some months before John Lennon's death, Yoko Ono arranged a meeting with a Satanist witch and paid $60,000 for the privilege to do so that John Lennon could revise his contract with Satan. John Lennon himself said, I sold my soul to the devil. Mick Jagger, when he was in jail, made a deal with Satan. And the deal was he wanted to be a member of a world-famous rock group. Apparently, Bob Dylan was talking about this on 60 Minutes. You know, when you go out there and you say, I want the world at all costs. I want to look good. I want to be famous. I want to have all the friends I want. I want to have all the money I want. You're making a contract. You may not know it. But the spirits that will come to you...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Neil is simply saying that the basic theme of so many people today is, what do I want? What can I get? And, of course, he was pointing out that John Lennon had shortly before his death, met with the witch to renew his contract, with Satan for the success he had. This is about 6 months before he died. And there really are people out there who made a contract with the devil. Now, I don't think the average person who sees the film or read the book on The Secret is going to understand where the power is going to come from. Let's imagine that you keep thinking about you'd like to get a new sports car, and that sports car comes to you. Now, do you really think that you've conjured it up, or you're told on the film that you're going to be able to manipulate the universe with your mind, that you have the ability to manipulate the universe with your mind? And if you stop and think about it, do you honestly believe that you can do that? If you do get any of these things, you're going to be getting them from demonic beings from the other dimension.
Absolutely. And you know, one way or the other, you're making a contract. You're either making a contract with the true God, or you're making a contract with the false God. And I have found it very interesting to study the nature of evil, the nature of the Luciferian initiation, and the point that you've already made, Dr. Stan, that I want to underline, is the reason that a lot of this stuff doesn't get understood is that people really don't think that Satan is real. They really don't think that Lucifer is real. They really don't think that evil is real. And so when they see MTV and the Black Sabbath and they see these guys with satanic symbols on their T-shirts and they're having orgies after the shows, they just think it's all a bunch of kids having a good time. They don't realize it's a science. They don't realize that a lot of rock stars have made very explicit contracts with very dark demonic entities to get where they are. And why did they make those contracts? Because they wanted to be famous, because they wanted to be well known, because they wanted to be on top of the world. And so when, at least it's my understanding, when a Christian goes before Christ and commits himself to Christ, he's saying, it's up to you to decide what comes into my life. It's up to you to decide what's right for me, because I'm not smart enough to know. And I don't want to take away your authority over my life. So the Satanist does the opposite thing. He goes to Lucifer and he says, you're my God, and I'm going to come to you for whatever I need. And Lucifer says, hey, happy to respond. What do you need? Fame, women, good looks? And it starts getting delivered. And the problem is that person now owes back on the contract. You now have accrued a debt to a spiritual entity. This is very real stuff. And so, sooner or later, you're going to be asked to pay that debt back. Sooner or later, they're going to come to you and say, we want to make a collection. You know, and that collection is of a spiritual nature. So why would anybody... I'm not saying, by the way, I want to be clear, I'm not saying that everybody involved in the secret is a Luciferian or that these people are knowingly doing these kinds of things. I can't judge that. I can't say that for sure. But I can say that they are getting people excited about an approach to life that is very Luciferian in nature. It's very self-oriented. It's very, what we call in the world of psychology, it's very narcissistic. It's all about me. You know, there's Madonna's song, Material Girl. She's done other songs about happiness. What is this? Happiness lies in your own hand, for Madonna. It's no mistake that she also studies the Kabbalah. And you read about a great many people in Hollywood that are witches. They are trained to be witches. They are studying the science of power over other people. And they do not use this stuff in kind ways. Zeph Daniels did a great report on a specific rock star, Courtney Love, and that she probably arranged to have Kurt Cobain killed in a satanic system, in a satanic process, that would then give her the power to become as famous as she is today. Okay, so this is all through the rock industry. It's all through the Hollywood movie industry. And when you see something like The Secret, you have to ask how much of this is coming from that same place, that same direction.
Well, I think it all is. I don't think that everybody involved has any idea, because I don't think that most people really believe there's another dimension out there. They may be fascinated, you know, listening to Art Bell and all of these incredible stories of these supernatural events, but they can't put it together. Nobody has connected the dots. There is a supernatural. There are supernatural forces. There is a God who has a plan for your life. And there's the devil who would like to claim your eternal soul. And we'll be back in just a moment here with Neal Cruz. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Neal Cruz, and certainly Neal has done a tremendous job. He's sent me about 12 pages of material I had gotten, and certainly articles from the New York Times and other newspapers by people who have analyzed this phenomenon. But they're looking at it from purely a secular point of view. In other words, here's a phenomenon, here's somebody who's got a very successful DVD that's selling right now. My latest figure I've heard is about a million and a half copies of the DVD at $29.95 each. And then, of course, the book is about 3 million printed, being distributed through Costco all across America. And certainly, once you get on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she endorses this, and Oprah has said that this is true, that she's excited that people are going to learn this. And, of course, Larry King seems to have the same approach to this. Jim Carrey has endorsed these concepts. And when you understand that this is going to attract so many people who are searching, who are lost, who don't really understand that happiness is not going to come from obtaining material things by tapping into the supernatural. Happiness, of course, is going to come by being in proper relationship with the Lord who made us and by following His plan for our lives and doing the best we can, certainly looking to Him for our leadership. And if we don't look to Him for leadership, why, if we try to do things on our own, in other words, certainly, we have to work, we have to live here, but we have to look to Him for direction to find out what's right and what's wrong, because we ourselves are incapable. Oh, we may say, yes, we know what's right and wrong, but we're all basically sinful people. And, of course, we can be swept up so easily in doing what we shouldn't, but God's rules are very straightforward. And we certainly, when you ask Him what needs to be done, you know what needs to be done. He's got the laws that are out there. You go to the Scriptures, you read the Scriptures. You see what's happened to people in the past who gave into their lusts, and although they may have been forgiven, there was always a tremendous, tremendous price to pay for doing the right thing. And for those people who simply follow God and keep His commandments, why, life is really very simple. For those of people who try to do it on their own, of course, a life can go from disaster to disaster to disaster. And I fear many people getting into the secret are going to find out it leads to great success for a time, but only for a time. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Neil, because Neil has done a lot of analysis on this, and certainly he's studied this. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Neil, do you think that this is going to have an impact on our society?
Oh, there's no question about it. And I think that when you combine this with the series of Harry Potter, and when you look at, there was an excellent documentary also done by Joe Schimmel called The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War Against God. When you get into this across several lines, the lines of fiction coming out, The Secret, all of these different productions that are making a big splash, for a while you think they're all different. They're all just sort of disconnected things. But then you start to look and you see a similar thread going through all of us. And this is what I refer to as sort of the secularization of the world. I remember Alan Watt, a gentleman that you interviewed not too long ago, Dr. Stan, I believe.
Yes.
Not Alan Watts, but Alan Watt, no S on the end. And he said the plan of the Illuminati is to, first of all, de-religionize the population. Take them away from God and make them atheists. Once they have made them atheists, the next plan is to make them Luciferian. And that's the shortest message I can give you as to what all of this is doing. It is basically getting the entire society of the world interested in lower order types of things, interested in sex, interested in power, interested in having everything you want, interested in material benefit. Now, also to be clear, not everybody, not all of the speakers in The Secret are just talking about pure materialism. They are spreading it out a little bit and talking about other things. But the general gist of the way this thing has been marketed is from the standpoint of getting ahead in the world. And I thought that, you know, if you're really a spiritual person, then let's commit to that. Why are we always putting all of our attention and energy into getting ahead in the world? But Dr. Stan, there's more to it than that. There's some subtle dimensions to this positive thinking business. And some of them I think are very dangerous. And one of the dimensions to positive thinking is that basically I think that positive thinking is an inoculation to prevent people from being infected by the truth. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to people and tried to tell them about what you tell people about the kinds of things that are on your show every week, and the most common response I get is, you know, Neil, I need to stay positive. There's nothing more important to me than being positive in my mind, and when you start telling me about that stuff, that's negative stuff, and if I start hearing about it, it's going to make me negative, and then it's going to bring it into my life. So what I say to them is, look, when your doctor calls you up after some tests and says to you, you better come down to my office, I think we need to talk, you say to him, listen, doctor, if you've got any negative information, I don't want to hear it, because that's going to make me negative, and it's going to get me down, and it's going to ruin my program of positive thinking. Or do you say, doctor, I need to know what's going on, because if I don't know, I can't fix it. It's the same thing with these dark elements to, you know, if you commit yourself to learning the truth about this world, let me tell you, there are some really dark truths, some really difficult things to listen to and to find out and to realize. When you know, essentially this planet and the human race is dominated by Luciferian individuals, by people who worship at the feet of Lucifer. John Todd used to talk about, he would get instructions from the Rothschilds in England. John Todd, by the way, was head of a 13-member Grand Druid Council, I believe, in Texas. They would get packages delivered to them from the Rothschilds in England. And in those packages were instructions on what to do, delivered personally from Lucifer to the Rothschilds. So Lucifer himself, sending instructions to the Rothschilds, they're coming by special courier overseas to John Todd at the Grand Druid Council, and Lucifer's saying, okay, here's what you're going to do next. How much more real can it get? I watched a documentary about a rock star program for young children. This was off the shelves of Blockbuster. And it's for children in, I believe, age 8 to 16, 8 to 18, something like that, to teach them how to be rock stars. And there's one scene where the guy says to the kid, hey, we know what this is all about. This is all about Satan, right? And all the kids go, yeah, this is all about Satan. I almost fell out of my chair. But I realize, and I'm going crazy, how can people watch this documentary and not just have fear run through their very heart? Well, the reason that they can is because when they hear that, oh, Lucifer doesn't exist, say, that's just kid stuff, they're just having fun, there's nothing real to that, there's nothing to worry about. Well, isn't it interesting that when we go through a lot of this channeled material, and I actually took a look at some specifics from the Abraham Hicks publications to verify the same thing, you see a lot of this channeled material spends a lot of time telling people there is no evil, there is no Lucifer, there is no Satan. Well, I know they're real. I've had two run-ins personally with Lucifer, so nobody's telling me he doesn't exist. All the people who do exorcism can give you countless stories about how demons have said that they're just following the instructions of Lucifer. There's a man by the name of Howard Pittman who in a near-death experience was taken by, I believe, by Jesus Christ, and he was shown the demonic realms, and he was shown the hierarchy what Lucifer uses to control the world. So once you get that it's real and you stop listening to all this New Age nonsense, and by the way, one of the people in The Secret, one of the instructors is Neil Donald Walsh. conversations with God. When I was working with a psychic some time ago, one of them said to me, by the way, he is not talking to God. He is talking to spirit entity, and more than one. And that's where he's getting his information from. Well, sure enough, Neil Donald Walsh, when he gets to Lucifer and evil, says, no, there is no Lucifer. That's just sort of an imaginary concept. Evil doesn't really exist. There's just lesser degrees of love and compassion. No, evil is real. When you sign on with Lucifer, you change. You become a different kind of person. And there are people who talk about the transformation of a person who accepts the Luciferic initiation. Bill Schnevelin is one of them who gets into detail. And one of the effects of Luciferian initiation is that when you do harm to other people after being initiated, you get strength from it. You get benefit. You feel strong. You feel healthy. You feel good. And then you discover that hurting other people, taking advantage of other people, instead of feeling guilty about it, you feel good about it. And so that's why they call it sort of, Luciferianism is the mirror world of the world that those who follow Jesus Christ and those who follow the true God live in. It's the exact opposite. And when we look at The Secret, by the way, what I did was I looked at the Abraham Hicks publications, and I found a gentleman who addressed them, and he said, look, I'm a chiropractor and a naturopath, and I'm worried about the so-called secret government and health cover-ups and stuff like this. And in the response that Abraham gives to that, essentially, what Abraham says is, you know, if you keep thinking that way, you're going to start turning yourself into a victim, because all that stuff, well, maybe it exists, maybe it doesn't, maybe there's conspiracy, but you shouldn't be thinking about that. If you start thinking about it, you're going to attract it to yourself. You're going to bring that into your life. So don't be thinking about conspiracy. And besides that, as we say, and I'm quoting, it's a self-perpetuated conspiracy. You see, using the technology of The Secret, oh, that's all in your mind. You know, you're just attracting that. You're bringing it to yourself. I've had friends say to me, Neil, the reason that you're not more successful, the reason you don't have more money, is all that conspiracy research doing. And I say, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, it's negative. It's negative material. It's going to bring you down. It's going to... So we have this culture that comes out of The Secret that says, if you're not feeling happy, something's wrong. To quote from some more of the Hicks material, are you selfish enough to feel good? Nothing matters more than that I feel good. You must be selfish enough that you are willing to feel good. You have to reach the place where you say, nothing matters more to me than that I feel good. Okay? That's a prescription that promotes pharmaceuticals. Don't you think that'd be a wonderful way to sell Zoloft and Prozac? And I've had several people suggest to me, maybe I would do well on some of these pharmaceutical drugs so that I could be happy all the time. So, you see, all of a sudden now, anything to do with conspiracy is negative. You can't read that. And so it inoculates people. And this is a deliberate and intentional program behind this kind of positive thinking message that is put out there. And you hear that from these people all the time. Don't be thinking about Lucifer. Don't be thinking about the demonic realms. You're just going to bring it into your life. Well, that's the same as going to the doctor and saying, doctor, if I have a disease, I just don't want to know. Or if your friend is crossing the street and he doesn't see a truck bearing down on him, and you want to tell him, you know, and you know your friend, don't tell me about that truck, it's just negative. You shouldn't tell him? You should let the truck run him over? So this is nonsense. And it breeds a type of thinking and a type of condition in our mind that makes us impervious to seeing evil, impervious to seeing what is really going on behind the scenes. And that is a deliberate... I'm not saying that, by the way, again, 52 people were interviewed under cameras for The Secret. Only 24 appeared in the final published version, to my knowledge. This is going to go on for some time. I'm not saying all those people are consciously consciously aware of these things. But this is what's behind this message. It provides several different things for the negative agenda. Not just one, but several. And people have to become aware. I think that's what got to me over time, was number one, I saw that number one, this doesn't work. It really works for people who love the world and who have no interest in telling the truth and who will sell out their friends and family to get ahead. It works really good for them. But I find that most of the people that have had really hard lives, that have gone through a great deal of suffering, like my brother who took his own life in 42, if I had handed this stuff to him, he just would have started laughing so hard. It's insane. Because he knew the value of the suffering, the tremendous suffering that he went through. It changed him deeply, and it changed me. And if we hadn't had that tremendous pain, a tremendous difficulty, he and I would have never resolved our differences before he took his life. I don't condone suicide. I know that's not a good thing. But what I'm saying is there is a real place for suffering and hardship. There is a real place for struggle in this life. And those people who get behind the secret and make it their religion, and that's what this is a religion of materialism. And what it's going to do is it's going to force a lot of people to contract with negative entities, demonic entities, worldly entities, and it's just going to further the negative agenda on a wholesale scale.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think you've said it very, very well, Dale. And basically, what draws me closer to the Lord is to realize that there really is evil out there, and I am incapable of addressing this personally. I have to rely upon Him, and I have to depend upon Him for my safety. In fact, what we do here at Radio Liberty, speaking on these issues, there is no way we could possibly survive without the Lord's protection. Well, let's go to Paul, who's calling from Ohio. Paul, did you have a comment on what we're discussing?
Yes, I also wanted to tell you, we were off the air for about a minute and a half, just as he was going into the Lennon situation, really.
You're talking about shortwave?
Right.
Well, of course, that seems to happen very frequently, but we don't worry about it. We have to do our best, Paul. But thank you for mentioning it. Anything you'd like to comment on?
I'd just like to say that, have you heard of a fellow named Leo Gagami?
No, I really haven't.
He departed from the Illuminati, and he's talking really big. Really, he's telling it all.
Oh, is he the fellow who's over in Norway?
He's from Italy. I don't know if he's in Norway.
Yeah, he's in Norway right now.
Yes.
We're having him on the program here before long.
Yes, I left a message with Barbara about the website and everything and the Google search to do to contact him.
We've already been in contact, but thanks very much, Paul. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to having him on.
Well, that's when do you think you might have him on?
Well, I don't know. We got to wait until we get hold of him. But God bless him. Thanks so very much.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure. Go ahead.
He's due for an operation, and I think that's where they're going to get him.
Well, let's see. Let's hope not. Anyway, let's go to Herman calling. Hi, Herman. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'm fascinated by your comments, Neil, and I think there's a lot of validity to what you say. But I think a lot of our listeners, I would certainly hope, are not into Luciferianism. And, as you were speaking, I'm thinking about a man driving down the road, and if he stays within the speed limit and he doesn't go over the shoulder off the cliff, he's going to do just fine. Now, many people in America are living in negative circumstances. And what is wrong with just plain positive thinking without selling your soul to the devil? I mean, you had Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking, sold millions of copies. You've got a strong Baptist Christian, Zig Ziglar, who goes around the country, and he preaches positive thinking with affirmations and visualizations, goal setting. I mean, I'm not talking about making a contract with the devil.
Neil answer that, because we're just about out of time.
Okay.
How would you respond to what Herman's asking?
That's a very good question, Herman. Let me read from you a section out of Paul Tuttle's book. You see, the flaw and the power of positive thinking lies in the fact that it assumes that if one does not engage in positive thinking, the universe will not unfold itself in a positive manner. So this theory and practice creates a fundamental distrust of the universe itself, and I would say of God itself. This, of course, puts one at odds with the self and with divine will. And so positive thinking is basically a statement of lack of trust. You're saying, God, what you're giving me is not good enough. I need to help you out. Here's my order. Please
okay, I think that's well said. And thanks very much, Herman.
Thank you.
Well, Neil, I think it's been a fascinating hour, and I really appreciate so very much your input in it. And I would simply comment that when we actually think that we are going to run the world, that we're going to save the world, that we're going to make the world, we have to realize that God is there, God has a plan, God is giving us free will, and boy, are we making a mess out of the world. And what really bothers me so much is that the denominational leaders, we haven't heard any of the major denominational leaders or the nominal leaders of the Christian faith speaking out against this truly demonic movement that's sweeping across our country, because either they don't know or they don't understand. We know that some of them are actually part and parcel of that. We saw this with Mr. Haggard, who led the 30 million person National Council of Evangelicals. 30 million Christians in the National Council of Evangelicals, headed by Ted Haggard, who was a homosexual and a drug dealer, and I personally believe he was deeply involved with the dark side, the dark spiritual side, because I believe there's a spiritual element to homosexuality. So we got a real problem in Christendom today. And, of course, we're trying to sound the alarm, and I agree with you totally. I believe that, of course, what's wrong with the power of positive thinking is we're trying to substitute ourselves for God. Would that be a fair estimate of what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And why would you need to do that? I mean, if you really trust in God, if you've really given yourself over to Him, how can you possibly improve on what He delivers into your life every day? Why would you want to get in the way of what the will of God is giving to you? I mean, okay, maybe He wants you in prison. Maybe He wants you to die from cancer. Maybe He wants you to get very rich and help a lot of people. Why wouldn't you want to say to God, deliver to me whatever you think I should have, instead of saying, God, by the way, in case you're not paying attention, I need a new Ferrari, and I need this, and I need that. He's not a gopher, you know? And this is the whole orientation that comes out of this is, hey, forget about God. You take charge of your life. Do it your way, not His way. There's no humility in that. There's no devotion in that. And there's no real dignity in that. A little statement from... There's a treatise by Michael Topper, and it's called Why You Don't Create Your Own Reality. And one of the things he says is, it may be seen that unimaginable effectiveness results when the expression of one's personal will is not different than or removed from the spirit of divine will.
Amen to that. Hey, we're out of time, Neil. God bless. Thanks so very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the program this evening. I think it was certainly very much to the point. There's a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're losing that battle because most people, most of our Christian leaders, won't talk about that spiritual battle. They absolutely refuse to, because it's controversial. Because God repeatedly in the scriptures talks about a conspiracy. A conspiracy against God. If you don't believe it, you go ahead and get your standard books, you know, that tell you all the various words in the Bible and concordance, and you look up the word conspiracy, you'll find 20 or 30 places where the word conspiracy is used in the Holy Scriptures, and if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for me. And I believe there is a conspiracy against God, and all of the conspiracies you talk about are part of this same movement where man is going to remake the world. And of course, what they're doing today is they're preparing for Lucifer to come and take over control. If you haven't yet, of course, seen the video or DVD we have with Constance Cumby, or heard her four-tape set, or read her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, that's Constance Cumby. We have a DVD, or we have a video of a talk she gave. We have a four-tape set, or a four-CD set, and then we have a book. And if you'd like to know about possibly getting them, if you'd like to make it for a donation, why would give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Certainly Neil was talking about one of my favorite tools. It's a DVD or video called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll by Pastor Joe Schimmel. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll by Pastor Joe Schimmel. You can get it in 4-hour, a 3-hour, or a 10-hour version. 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour versions. Noel spoke of a DVD by Pastor Schimmel on the Da Vinci Con, going into the message that you'll see in so many of the Hollywood movies. That's the Da Vinci Con. Chris Pinto has put out two excellent DVDs, Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. Actually, I happen to have a small part in Megiddo 2, not that that's important at all, but they really do take you into this spiritual battle that's being fought today. It's not imaginary. It's real. America is headed into a expansion of the war in the Near East and in the Middle East. We're heading into a period of chaos and crisis. I believe God is going to bring his judgment on America because the Christians of this country have not had the courage to speak out. They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And if the Christians won't speak out, who will? Certainly not the Luciferians. They're on the winning side. And I'll never forget those words of Whitaker Chambers, who said, "I'm leaving the winning side to join the losing side. For I'd far rather die as a free man than live under communism." And of course, this is the force behind communism and socialism and secular humanism and Luciferianism. They're all exactly the same. And since the very inception, they were financed by very powerful and evil people here in the United States. If you'd like, of course, to get some of the newsletters we put out, I think you'll enjoy our February newsletter, which gives you tremendous insight into how people here in the United States finance communism and are today financing the Islamic terrorist movement. That's the February newsletter. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You won't be able to get it for a couple of weeks. If you'd like to get our latest newsletter, which goes into, of course, the cover-up of cancer treatments 55 years ago. Let's see, it was 1953. That would be, at least well over 50 years ago. There were cancer treatments, effectively. They've been suppressed because they want to let people die. And if you'd like to get that, the Fitzgerald Report, which is part of the January newsletter, we'll get it for you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927.
Tuned to the